So today, I titled my message, "But You Hurt Me." But there's two things in life that we know. Actually, there's three in my life that I know is true. Death and taxes is one. And the other thing is I have great hair. I have good hair. That's the other thing. I know that I know. And if it falls out tomorrow, it's really fine with me. I don't care. But right now, I have great hair. But the other thing that we have that we know that is true, is that people are going to hurt us. If we go through this life, people are going to hurt us. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes they do it by accident. Sometimes they do it intentionally. Sometimes they hurt us by what they do. Sometimes they hurt us by what they say. Sometimes they hurt us and it's just scratching the surface. It's just like, oh, okay, no big deal. And we get over it. But other times it leaves scars that last emotionally and physically and sometimes spiritually for years and sometimes a lifetime. But mark it down, somewhere, some way, people are going to hurt us. Okay, God, how do we react? How are we supposed to react when people hurt us? Because, you know, sometimes I just want to punch people in the throat and then get right with the Lord later. You know what I mean? We talk about that in home group all the time. It's like, you just want to push people down the stairs. People are people. But we have Jesus, and it's okay. But this is something we need to know and how to handle, you know, when people hurt us, whether it's surface hurt us or deeply hurts us. I started looking and through the Bible, like where people had been hurt, and I realized Paul had been hurt very, very badly. And in 2 Timothy 4, he talks about a coppersmith named Alexander. I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard that. I had never heard it before, but it says in 2 Timothy 4, it says, Alexander was a metal worker, and he did a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too shall be on guard, or should be on guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. And I realized that this verse was sort of taken out of a page of Paul's spiritual diary, if you look at it. But he was telling Timothy some of his experiences when he was a missionary, and he mentions this guy named Alexander who hurt him deeply. And I don't know what this guy did to Paul, but you know, he doesn't mention it. He's not specific about anything, but it's very obvious that he hurt Paul. And it seems like he did it repeatedly. It was something that happened over and over again. Paul doesn't dwell on it. He doesn't make a big stink about it. And, you know, he's just telling Timothy, hey, be on the lookout because this guy's bad news. He hurt me. He might hurt you. But I also wondered, like, what if I was telling the story of if somebody hurt me, or if you were telling the story of somebody hurting you? I don't know if I would have been like Paul. I don't know if I'd have been like, hey, you know, he did me wrong, and I just warned you about it, and then let it go. We want people to know every morsel, every grain, every fiber of our story of how somebody hurt us. We want people to know how deeply that someone's hurt us. He was deeply hurt, but he didn't go around feeling sorry for himself. He didn't go around, you know, trying to get sympathy and dwell on what had happened to him. He just warned this guy that, hey, watch out for the guy. And this is a biblical example of how we should respond when people hurt us. And I hope today that we kind of see through Paul's life and how he handled the situation, how we can handle situations when people hurt us, because people are going to hurt us. People get upset and they come to us every day. Home group leaders, you probably know about it too. And it's the craziest stuff. It's like, she just ignored me. She didn't even talk to me. And so I don't know what I've done to her. They get hurt. They're deeply hurt. And then they get offended. And then the offense goes into Joy, just don't speak to anybody. I just don't understand. Joy is one of the most loving people. But if you talk to this person, Joy is the worst thing in the world. She's the worst person that goes to our church. And that's not true. But we try to convince people of our story. And we start believing our own falsehood about people. Well, the devil doesn't even have to do anything but sit back and go, you're doing it all your own. I don't have to do anything, but I guarantee I'm going to get credit somewhere. I really, truly believe that people stand on a mountain of offense, and they watch blessing after blessing after blessing go by them because they can't see God for the offense that's in their heart. Or they can't see God because this person is always here. It amazes me when I talk to people. They're like, well, it would be so much better if he didn't come to church anymore. What? My goodness. That is so bad, y'all. I mean, if somebody's hurt us so badly that we don't want them to come to church, we need to check ourselves. At that door, at our prayer closet, in our Bible study, we need to check ourselves. Because how bad is that? But it amazes me how many people that we talk to that it's offense after offense after offense. And really and truly, if y'all knew what people had done to me, you wouldn't believe the stuff that people say. And they are our friends, supposedly. I'm telling you, it's time to grow up. It's time to get a backbone when it comes to Jesus and gossip. And gossip wasn't even what I'm going to talk about, but we deal with it day in and day out. Such and such hurt me, and I just don't know how I'm going to get over it. Well, they didn't call you last week when you were going through something. What's that got to do? They may have stuff going on in their own lives. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about who we reach and who we see and what we do as a church. And it's not about you. But I come to the conclusion that hurt people. But it goes deeper than that. Because offended people wound people. If you are an offended person, and the offense, let me tell you, somebody could have hurt you and they could have hurt you bad. And it's not okay. I'm not saying that it's okay. There are people in this world who they love to degrade others. They love to talk about people. They love to put down people. But you know what? You can refuse their insult. You can move on. You can decline to accept their abuse. You sure can. You can decline it. Let God take care of it. Ignore them. Let me tell you, it'll reduce tension in your life. It'll strengthen your relationships with other people. And it'll increase your joy. I'm telling you. And we can become better or we can become bitter when people hurt us or they bother us or they, you know, people tick me off all the time. Thank God I get over stuff pretty quickly because I could stay in vents all the time. But if you notice, like Paul, whenever it came to Alexander, he didn't worry about it. He says, what do you say? God's going to take care of it. He's going to handle it. But one of the surest signs that a hurt has turned into bitterness or resentment or an offense is that you keep hashing it over and over and over in your mind. And you talk to people over and over and over. It comes out of your mouth. But hate and bitterness and being angry and offended, it's like an acid. It is more, didn't you know acid is more damaging to the vessel that is holding it to actually what it's poured on. So that bitterness and that anger and that offense, it eats you from the inside out. It physically increases your blood pressure. I know. Sometimes I get upset with people at work and I'm like, I can't do this. If I can't do it with people at work, I sure can't do it with people at church because I know y'all a lot better than them. But emotionally, it can contribute to your depression. You can become depressed because of what people do to you because you don't let it go. You allow it to become what you eat, breathe, sleep, worship. Did you know you can worship bitterness? Because it's all you think about? Spiritually, it hinders your prayer and your worship. It becomes an obstacle. When I say the devil don't have to do anything, we do it to ourselves. Because it's this ongoing battle that we face day to day to day, and it's like a recorder that plays. It's like a videotape in our mind of what this person does to us or has done. We get upset because of what others say that somebody has said about us, and somebody may not have said that at all. So what should we do in that case? Get it off your plate. Don't worry about it. Don't become so offended that you quit coming to church. Amazing that people do that. Hello? This is where you're going to get fed. This is where you're going to get loved. This is where you're going to get over all that junk. But we've let one person that said one thing that has offended us keep us from where we are or where we should be. The only way to get past our pain and our hurt and all that stuff, forgive. And I know it's hard. Look, I've talked to people that have been in relationships, and they break up, and they're like, but you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, I probably do. You can live, you can breathe, you can function healthy through a relationship, through a breakup of a friendship. You don't have to go and continually dwell and try to hurt this other person. Because honestly, when you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, it's like spiritually cutting a malignant tumor from your soul. It's like spiritually just cutting it out and giving it to God. And you know what? You set a prisoner free. And you know who that prisoner is? It's not that person. It's yourself. You set yourself free when you forgive. And as long as we don't forgive, the cycle goes on and on and on. And look, forgiving, it doesn't evade the questions of why they hurt you, how they hurt you. It doesn't minimize that. I understand that. But forgiving will release them from you. If you can pray for somebody instead of talk about them, you're on your way to healing. Something that requires a very big act of faith is not playing God. Do you know when we seek revenge that we're playing God? We need to leave that to the Lord. When we want harm to that person because of what they've done, we're playing God. We're saying, hey, I hope their car quits running. Whenever I was looking up scripture and I was looking up things to go along with this, the Lord brought a grizzly bear in my mind. And they don't like the intrusion of someone coming in. But there is one animal that they will allow to intrude. They don't like it, but they'll allow it, and they can coexist, and that's a skunk. That's the only thing that they will allow. Here's the thing, they'll coexist with them because they don't want to pay the high price of fighting them. That's what it is, and they know what that price is. So the moral of this story is, don't retaliate when someone hurts you, because all you do is succeed in creating a big stink. That's what it is. Paul says, hey, this dude Alexander, the Lord will repay him for all he's done. I don't have to do anything. And this is not a statement of a wish or a desire. It's a hope. It's not a hope that God is going to get him sick in God, you know. It's not that, but it's a statement of fact. He's so convinced that the ultimate justice of God is what is going to take or what he's going to do or what he's going to have, that he's not concerned about it anymore. And he trusts God to do that. And so by forgiving, we leave it to God to settle those issues and settle those issues of fairness. It's not up to us. God may punish them or he may forgive them. That's not on us. We just give it to God and allow Him, allow His justice of scales or scales of justice to prevail. More than likely, they're going to get themselves in more trouble than anything else. So don't worry about it. Allow yourself time to heal. Get over it. Forgive. Move on. Create a better life. Probably a year from now, you're going to be like, ooh, I'm glad I wasn't in that when all that happened because they created something else for themselves. You never know when somebody may be sparing you some hurt, pain, whatever, down the road. So allow God to dish out that justice or that forgiveness or whatever it is in His eyes that He's going to do. But we have to love and forgive. Don't look for revenge and don't look for somebody to hurt somebody else. And Jesus Himself is our everlasting example of how we should take hurt and pain. Peter says this about Jesus. In 1 Peter 2, it says, when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. When you're hurt at somebody, remember what Jesus did. It's not what Jesus would do, it's what He did. It's so easy to get mad and hurt and become bitter and angry, but we're only hurting ourselves because here's the thing. The person that has hurt you, broken up with you, told you you couldn't preach anymore because you're gay and Christian. But when that happens, just remember what Jesus did and how He handled it. He didn't go and talk about God and say, you're never going to believe what God is making me do. You're not going to believe what He put me through and how they're treating me. And that's not how He would handle it, and that's not how we should handle it. When people are doing all that to you, they've fired you, they've talked about you, when we breathe it in and we keep breathing it in and we keep going around that circle and that hate and that anger and that bitterness and all that, guess what they're doing? They're living their life. They're not thinking about what they did. And I will tell you, a year from now, once you're healed and you're happy and you're whole and you're walking in a good place, don't be surprised if those people come back to you. Thank you. I appreciate what you did. You know what? I'm going to pray for you. And I've been praying for you through all of this. You're healthy and you're whole. And you're not angry and you're not bitter. And you're living the life that God has called you to live. That is wholeness and that's healing. When my ex and I broke up, she said a lot of crazy things about me, a lot of bad things, and I was prepared for it. But what I wasn't prepared for, there were my friends that became mutual friends, took her side because of everything that she had said and everything that she had done, and they all took her side, except for a couple who had been my friends for years. And I thought, you know what, I can defend myself and look like an idiot because it's not true, but I could go into crazy defending myself and look crazy and look like the person that she had said that I am. Or I can sit back and I can say, you know what, handle it. And that's what I chose to do. I chose to walk away. And I said, you know what, you can have all those friends. I don't need them. If they're going to do this, guess what? I don't need it. I just don't. And God told me very, very clearly, when all this blows over, those people are going to come back to you and they're going to apologize and they're going to try to come back in your life. But thank God I was healed and I was whole and I was free and I was walking in faith and believing, and I had given it to God, because every single one of those people, whether it be on Facebook or text or whatever it was, came back and said, you know what? I am so sorry. She is everything that crazy could be, and I'm so sorry. It'd been very easy to say, yeah, let's go to dinner, let's hang out. But God said, mm-mm. But it's very, very easy to say, yeah, okay, let's hang out. And then they're not healed, they're not whole, they're not complete, they're not all that stuff. They haven't found Jesus. And then you get trapped right back into the downward spiral where you were. If you don't take the time to heal, become whole, to get your identity in Christ, not in everybody else. Worry about what he says about you. Worry about what he says, not what Michael says or PK says or Jenny says or I say, but what does he say about you? That's where our identity is, not in our partners, not in our wives and our husbands. It's not in that. But identify with him and who he is. And let me tell you, he will completely, radically change your life and the way that you view people. Because I guarantee you, somewhere, somehow, in your lifetime, you have been the one guilty of hurting someone else. And it's all about grace. If you don't have grace with people, Lord, have mercy, how do you walk? Because I have to forgive people on a daily basis. Or either it festers and it becomes infected, and then that offense on top of offense on top of offense comes in. But when you catch yourself spiraling down in that offense, give it to God and say, you know what? I don't know what you're going to do with this. It's not up to me, but I'm giving you this, and you handle it the way that you see fit. Because if anybody sees it for what it truly is, it's him. He's the one who can handle it perfectly. Because a lot of times, we don't realize that we put our own judgments and we put our own spin on something somebody else has said or done. They could have said, I don't look great in this, but in my head it's like, they called me fat and they called me ugly and all this stuff. And all they said is, that's just not a good outfit for you. And the last thing I'm going to say is, don't become offended at somebody when you ask them their opinion and they tell you the truth. Yeah. Because if somebody's telling you the truth and you ask their opinion and you don't like what they say, you shouldn't ask them. I mean, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. I mean, if you're that sensitive, honestly, don't ask anybody anything. When we try to take care of it, we make it worse. It's a good way to create enemies, divide churches, divide families, divide home groups, divide, messing up what God is trying to do. But allow God to deal with your hurts, your anger, your frustration, whatever it is with people. Allow him. He's the one who can take care of it.